Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can lead
right,
the
day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above.
The A on my chest like a dog. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Colorado Buffalo, so try to get in to get those tickets. And we will continue the college football talk with our misery index. We had upsets. We had highly ranked teams struggle and find a way to win. We had a rivalry game in a way all those games end. So we got choices, but I think number one has to be the people in Gainesville. You lose a game to USF where you're a 3-score favorite. You were sold this summer that things are going to be different. Yeah, I know Lagway's hurt, but he's going to be fine. He's going to come back. The offense is going to be cooking. That's what they were sold. They got a really good offensive line. I think PFF ranked them one of the top 5 offensive lines in college football. They thought, hey, we beat Ole Miss last year. Yeah, Florida State stunk, but we beat them last year. We feel pretty good about ourselves going into year, is it 4 of Napier? I think it's 4 of Napier. I think he was hired in that same offseason as Cristobal. And they put up 16 points at home against the USF Bulls. So for people who don't know, beyond the fact that you're the favorite, you're the big state school, there has continued to be a push to bat USF and the UCFs of the world away from the big three, by the big three. Like, the fans don't acknowledge that USF or UCF are really competing on their level, and money-wise, they're not. UCF and the Big 12, whatever. But it's a point of, not pride, but a point of, I'll put it this way. If you lose to those schools, it's a real flaw on your resume. It's a real black mark on your resume for the big three. And Billy Napier couldn't afford another black mark. And he lost to them in the swamp at home. He made decisions where he should have run the football instead of throwing the football on the Gators' final drive as they were trying to salt the game away. He didn't hand the ball to a running back who was having a pretty good day. And DJ Lagway has underperformed through the first 2 games of his season. I don't think there's a more miserable fan base in the country right now than the Florida Gators. And that schedule coming up, LSU this week, they got Miami, they got Texas. We talked about Florida's schedule last year as one that could be a killer. I remember having, why are you peering into the room, Lance? Weirdo. Or what? Yeah, he told me to shut the door. If you go across the country, I don't see a more miserable team or miserable fan base than the Gators. I mean, maybe one of our next fan bases on the list can match it, but that fan base has a long, long history of dealing with bad offense. So maybe they're just used to what they saw on Saturday. I think this is the game. Like, you can point to certain games that a coach can't come back from. Losing the USF at home, I don't know what could happen other than winning a national title that's going to get people back on Billy Napier's side, because this is the one where they run into a USF person at work or it's one of their friends, and they tell you, yeah, we suck, but we don't lose to you guys because you guys suck more. Now you don't even have that to fight back with. It's got to be infuriating. Trust me, I know. I've seen it happen. My team lost to FIU once.
Wow.
So I know the deal. It's the game, as much as people didn't want Matty Diaz to be their coach anymore, you know, if he hadn't lost to FIU, there could be, you know,
Tyler Van Dyke's pretty good. We had a good into the 2021 season, but it's a black mark. It can never be washed away. And this one is Billy's. He's got plenty, but losing to a second tier team in your state, forget about it.
Especially when you are looking down the barrel of top five LSU, top five Miami, number seven Texas.
Maybe top five Texas by that point. Who knows what'll shake out.
Yeah, and then that's before you get, they also get like Alabama and Tennessee and Florida State. Like, it's just, it's something where you're at your most miserable because you're like, oh, and it won't get any better. Cool. This was the one that was supposed to be the, like, get on the board, get not a layup because they're a pretty good team, but it's one where it's like, we have no business actually losing to these guys. And then you lose to these guys.
And you lose it in a way where competence shows, at least according to the Florida fans.
That's another key part, is that Billy Napier also proved that, like, he's not a good coach. Like, managing the game, he just cannot do that.
And he's a play caller there, and they asked him. Well, he was at least asked to give that up and go hire someone else, and he didn't want to. And then you watch your team put up 16 points against USF, and you think to yourself, wait, we kind of gave him a little life raft. Just go hire a play caller. You finish your last year 8-5. There's some positivity because of how that season ended. I mentioned the win over Ole Miss, ruining their playoff chances. Just hire us a play caller, man. Just, we'll give you the money. Just go do it. And he didn't do it, and it has showed over the course of the first 2 weeks. So he's in real trouble. Of course, all you got to do is go beat LSU on the road. Top five LSU on the road, and things get better for you.
That is the, like, silver lining, is that, like last year, they have plenty of opportunities to jump up and sneak one on someone. But also, you just lost to USF at home. So even getting like, oh, we got these guys at the Swamp, maybe it's like, well, you had an American Athletic Conference team in the Swamp, and you let them kind of stop you, really take hold of that game. I don't know. It's miserable.
Yes, misery, and it can be fixed. The schedule allows for it because they're big games. But the big games and the good teams would suggest, if you watch how you play the first 2 weeks, that you're not fixing it. Those teams are going to be too good.
I will say, silver lining: you're not as miserable because you're already firing the coach.
If you believe that to be the next step, yes, you know, particularly if you didn't want him back for season four.
Yeah, you get to hate your coach, which is like not the worst thing.
It's not the worst thing in the world from like Sunday through Friday. But then the games come and you got to go into games rooting against a team that you've rooted for your entire life. That's a little tough.
No, but it gives you a whipping boy of like when things go wrong, you just go, see,
you blame Billy. No matter what happens, not the players. As long as they had a good, a good coach, they'd play better. Understood. We'll see where the Florida fan base lands as one of their hated rivals is up next, and then another hated rival, and then they got Texas. We'll see how that plays out. All right, next on the list, I would say, I was debating this because I just wrote out four. The way SMU lost, and considering it's an in-state team, and they have playoff aspirations after last year's playoff appearance, they have a good quarterback. I'm not gonna put them at two. I think I'm gonna keep Clemson at two because they were up on our list last week.
just hold.
Yeah,
hold right
I think
there,
they
sir.
Hold at two because of how that game went. If you missed it, Clemson was what, down 16-0, or was it 16-3?
I think 16-0.
16-0. There was a pick six. A ball was batted up in the air inside the Clemson five, was caught running for a touchdown. And then they had a long delay. What was it? Lightning was an area, affected a couple games in that area. And they bounced back and won the game 27-16. But, Sean, we reacted to this when the list came out from ESPN that Cape Klubnik they had was the fourth best player in college football. Get the F out of here. We said it at the time, and nothing that's played out this season would suggest we were wrong. The fourth best player in college football, Cape Klubnik. And the issue with Clemson remains the same, at least for me. Beyond not having a transcendent quarterback like they've had when they've been at their best, there, of course, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. Anyone remember there was a little blip where Kelly Bryant started for an entire year, and then he was starting the next year, and then Trevor Lawrence played well against A&M, and then that really got it going, and Kelly Bryant was one of the first guys, if not the first guy that you can remember, to go, you know what, I'm sitting out. Like, I haven't gotten to my four games.
Yeah, I'm preserving my red shirt
as a starting quarterback, or at least at the time, a quarterback they said they still going to play, and that led to the Trevor Lawrence experience. But since that point, they haven't found a quarterback to raise the ceiling on that team, and the wide receiver play, as far as what they had been come used to, hell, we talked about DeAndre Hopkins yesterday because of the play he made. That was a Clemson receiver. Sammy Watkins no longer plays, but he was a Clemson receiver. Of course, we don't think of this guy anymore because he's been hurt, but Justin Ross, as a freshman, was a great Clemson receiver. T. Higgins, great Clemson receiver.
Mike Williams,
another one. Hunter Renfrow is a slot, and of course, he was teamed with Deshaun, and they won a title. But for the most part, Clemson at their best in the last decade and a half, they needed a great outside receiver. They have not produced one since, and it has certainly been a big problem for them. The defense still remains one where you can count on. They didn't play well early against Troy. They got it together. They're fine. Offense still a problem. Lincoln Riley's younger brother still a problem. That's who he is until he picks it up.
Oh, okay.
He can be Garrett Riley again. He was Garrett Riley when he was the OC at TCU and they're in a national title game. As soon as Georgia got a hold of him, he's back to Lincoln Riley's younger brother.
Got a hold of him twice.
Well, in the title game, yes. And then they got a hold of him again. Hey, you know how you were miserable when we played you in the title game? Your first game with Clemson, right? It was his first game against Georgia, or was that the next season?
Yeah, I think it was the next.
Season. Oh yeah, they lost to Duke his first game. 20-7, I think they lost to Duke his first game. They got a hold of him again the next year. And it was a miserable experience. So Lincoln Riley's younger brother needs to get it going. They need to find a quarterback. I guess they're stuck with Klubnik for this season.
Got to. Yeah.
And they have to upgrade that wide receiver position. It has been a thing you can point to and go, since that took a downturn, Clemson's chances at winning national titles have taken a downturn.
Yeah. Or it's a situation of do they have some good receivers and Klubnik just actually can't make them that level of...
That's another option.
Because, you know, all those guys did have Watson and Lawrence and Taj Boyd going back in the day.
That's true.
Yeah, so I think that's a good one. It was a big... and, I mean, they did end up still winning this game, but it's a big... This offseason, they're talked about, and they're actually preseason, number four? And they're talked about as title contenders. And so far, if you're a Clemson fan, you're like, oh, actually, we seem like we're more of the Clemson of the last three or four years, where it's like, oh, 10-3, you know.
Things work out because the ACC isn't great. We can sneak in and maybe win the ACC title. But as far as a real playoff contender, we're going to start our playoff run on the road most likely once again in that first week, like it happened last year against Texas. All right, so you can choose, Sean. Do you want to, or maybe have your own option? Because considering how the SMU-Baylor game went, I feel like we had an SMU fan call in earlier and said, you know, he gave some excuses, said they didn't have a top receiver, top defender was out. But for the most part, he just said Baylor was a better team that day. Or we go to Cy-Hawk. The question is, for me, considering where what we put three or four is, are Iowa fans so used to bad quarterback play that what happened on Saturday, even with the highly touted transfer, doesn't mean a lot to them? Hey, we've seen this. He doubled his passing yards over from 44 to whatever it was against Iowa State. Or they think they own Matt Campbell, so that's a game they believe they should win. That was just their type of game, and they lost. I don't know who to put three or four.
I'll go SMU.
SMU. They were up 2 touchdowns against Baylor at home.
Yeah, just the way the game played out, I think, made it worse. Got a kick to win it in regulation. It was like a 50-something yarder, so not the end of the world that you missed that one. But then I think the same kicker missed another one in overtime. Yeah, can't be doing that. Especially being a playoff team, being the best team in the ACC for most of last season, now you lose to Baylor. It's a tough come down. It's another one like Clemson where you build yourself up, and then such a tough thing, tough pill to swallow, having to lose to an 0-1 Baylor team. Baylor team that needed a win.
Desperate. Baylor's defense has not played well all year. Auburn ran all over them, and TCU was well on their way to putting up a big number until the final couple minutes of that game, where they found a way to get into overtime and then win it. Big win for Dave Aranda. Sawyer Robertson's a really good quarterback. He will have to be really good the rest of the way, because that defense just appears to be in the toilet, which is odd considering it's the calling card of the head coach.
He is. But I do appreciate, you know, sometimes the old ways don't have to die. Big 12 football.
It's true.
what was the final score? It was like,
was it 45 to 42?
Yeah, it was. There's like 1,000 yards of offense. Like sometimes we, you know, the Big 12 football I grew up on still lives.
You make a point. I talked about it on the morning show yesterday about how the next game we're going to talk about, it was 48-45 the final on that one in double OT. Iowa and Iowa State was 13-10. It was the highest scoring first half in years for that game, and then they realized, wait a minute, we can't let all the traditions die.
Yeah.
Look, I know college football's changing, realignment's happening, the rivalries are going away, but not us. Let's get back to our roots.
Yeah, Iowa State parked the bus.
Yeah, and it wound up just like every Cy-Hawk game should, 16-13.
Yeah, the perfect score. I will allow a 19-16.
Sometimes, because it means just more field goals are being kicked.
It's one extra for both teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, I spiritually, that's what the good people of Iowa deserve.
Have come to expect. They should win games in that way, whichever way it goes. And you know what?
I think if you're Iowa, you're like, hey, sure, we lost. At least we lost scoring 13 points.
It's our way.
Yeah.
The traditions don't die.
None of this fancy stuff.
And I gave Gronowski too much credit. He was 44 yards last time he was out there. Yeah. This time, 83. So didn't exactly double his numbers.
Almost doubled.
Five yards away.
God.
13 completions for 83 yards.
I like forget. You know, the same thing happened on Friday where I was like, 44 passing yards. It's just so few. It's just not that many. What? 88 is also so few.
Yeah, and he's 83.
And he's
throwing the ball 24 times and can't get past 100 yards. A pick and 83 yards.
So he's under 4 yards per attempt.
It's atrocious. Yes, it's atrocious. 24 attempts, 83 yards.
Is his rush per attempt, is his yards per rush higher?
I will have to look because
his yards per rush might be
not this time. 2 for 2.3, 16 carries, 37 yards.
Okay.
Not this time.
So it's smart for them to be throwing the ball.
No, it's smart to be handing it to Patterson. That's who they should be giving the ball to. He was 11 carries for 60 yards. So there was a guy who was running the ball efficiently.
It's
5.5 yards a carry. That's a guy who they may want to think. Look, Gronowski's carries come from scrambles and avoiding pressure. So it isn't all just design runs, but woof. We talked about it. Are they ruining quarterbacks, or the quarterbacks already ruined and that's what attracts Iowa to them? Like,
I think they don't know what good quarterbacks
are. Like, Kirk Ferentz can look around the Big Ten and go, Ohio State gets good enough quarterbacks. I mean, Michigan not last year, but their quarterbacks have been good enough, you know, to get drafted in the first round and eventually win a Monday night game.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, Penn State, we have our issues with Drew Aller. But Drew Aller would crush Iowa football
if he played for them.
You know, someone said if you...
They'd build him a statue.
Someone said this about Aller. If you squint, do you see a little Christian Hackenberg in Drew Aller? And I was like, oh, no. I was like, oh, no, not that. Even we haven't gone that
far.
Yeah,
don't say that about... That young man has a family who can see this stuff.
We've
right?
never said that about him. That
they
he's
might
got
be listening.
Hackenberg in him.
I would never. No. Matt McGloin, though, I don't know.
He's no Trace McSorley. Well, Aller has the traits to be an NFL quarterback.
But McSorley had the guts.
That's true. McGloin gets to play when other quarterbacks get hurt, and he gets ruined in a playoff game against the Texans. wasn't he the third stringer?
No, it was Connor Cook.
No, Connor Cook had to play because McGloin got hurt.
Yeah, McGloin got hurt.
That's what it is. Carr got hurt. Derek Carr gets hurt. McGloin gets hurt. And then it's Connor Cook. Connor Cook would crush at Iowa, too.
I was going to say, Connor Cook would be, again,
Yeah, it'd be a pass.
Since Brad Banks, they haven't seen a quarterback this good.
Different version, yes. They got different traits, but I know what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, no, since, just as far as overall quality
Tate,
of play.
I was trying to figure it out.
It's, Ricky Stanzi?
Ricky Stanzi's better than Gronowski, but he's in that Iowa quarterback.
Yeah, role. He's like, of the bad Iowa quarterbacks, he's one of the best. Yes. He's not a good Iowa quarterback, though.
Because they don't exist, unless you're talking about Brad Banks. Maybe Drew Tate. From long ago.
I'd have to...
You don't remember.
Drew
Tate came after Brad Banks. And now they look at his numbers.
But it was 20 years ago. Remember that.
I'm not blaming you. They're more in line with... I look at his numbers and I realize they're not that impressive. Of course, it's 20 years ago.
Yeah,
so
it's 20 years football. Football fast.
Not even 2-1 touchdown interception ratio.
He got, this guy sucks.
He got worse as his career went on because that's just what an Iowa quarterback could do.
That's a point in the favor that they ruin quarterbacks is that as quarterbacks spend more time, develop under Kirk Ferentz, that they get worse.
Now, he had high picks in his first year as a starter, 14-20 touchdowns. But his final year, 18 touchdowns, 13 picks, lowest completion percentage of his career, lowest rating of his career. So
they ruined him.
So you get infected by that Iowa-ness of it all. And Drew Tate went from, you know, pretty good freshman year to, can't wait for the next guy to come.
Now it's really sinking in. They might actually be more miserable than SMU because...
At least SMU has Kevin Jennings.
And
they score points.
And they don't have to look across the sideline at Iowa State, who has Rocco Becht, who would be by far the best.
Yes,
Iowa quarterback
of the last decade.
And they have, in the not so recent past, they have Brock Purdy. Like Iowa State is a quarterback factory compared to them.
Yeah, they're gonna have wherever.
The last 2 years, they've had more good quarterbacks.
Yeah, wherever he's drafted, if he's drafted, I imagine Rocco Becht will. I mean, that's two drafted quarterbacks in their last two. Well, what is Iowa?
Well, there's a guy who got kicked off the team for betting in between there, but won't count him.
At least he's fun.
Yeah, he also was not that bad.
Yeah, and then you look to Iowa City, you're like, oof. They're Caleb Johnson, hope you have a good NFL career because that's who we're banking on college football on weekends because the Saturday stuff isn't going to be entertaining. Hopefully you get carries to the Steelers.
What's Mark Gronowski's measurables? Can he move to tight end to have a 6'2"?
He's 6'2", 230. He would be like flex tight end, maybe.
H-back
type for offense.
I was
going to
say,
that still use that?
His name's close enough to Gronkowski, maybe could fool a team.
Trick somebody.
Yeah.
They forgot.
Yeah,
you know what you do. He's got to put the K in his name. Just change it. Just change it. See what happens. No, I'm a distant relative. I've never met the Gronkowskis, you know. But, hey, tight ends are tight ends and Gronkowskis. So they go together.
Yeah, Nick Sarri would be like, sure, why not?
Let's get it done.
Seventh rounder, whatever.
If he changes his name, we know Iowa tight ends are loved.
That too. Oh, that's a good point.
So if you do change the tight end and just say
maybe he's like a fifth rounder now.
Yeah, he's someone who invites contact. You just change your name to Gronkowski or just switch the tight end. Period. Don't even have to add the K. And people look at it and go, you know, he's from Iowa. I'll give him a shot.
Yeah, why not?
And then you realize, oh yeah, he runs like a 4.9. That's why not.
Yeah, he's not a good runner.
Yeah, he's not agile.
Like, he was sold as like, oh, he can run a little bit. He's not that good of a runner.
He looks like a quarterback. Who should still be in the FCS?
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Iowa. They thought they got a good one.
Honorable mention, misery index,
sure.
Arizona State.
Oh, yeah. Losing the way they did to Miss State.
A little bit like SMU, just minus the in-stateness of like, hey, we made the playoff last year. We think we're pretty good. We're building something. You lose to a team that might not win an SEC game. That's tough.
That's tough for the Big 12. Tough for Arizona State. Tough for... Ken Dillingham, all that talk about hotels and all that stuff.
Sam Levitt, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Todd McShay's going to forget your name now.
Yeah.
He was one of those like, hey, you know, what about this guy as a draft guy? Nope, I'm good.
With that game, he appears more like a scatabo a merchant than anything else, unfortunately.
The whole program looks like a Scadavo merchant.
It really does. You go to Miss State and lose. Look, Miss State was bad last year, but the transfer portal can change things. So they're not they're not even close to really the same team that were last year. Jeff Lebby got a win.
Yeah.
Former Oklahoma player, right?
And OC.
Yeah.
I
know he has spent some time at Ole Miss as well, but Sam Levitt struggled this year. It's tough. And he's got a good receiver in Tyson, but it has not worked out offensively for them this year. Even in their win against Northern Arizona, it wasn't great. Yeah. They did enough to win, but it wasn't a great offensive showing. So yeah, that's probably one. You're a team who thinks you can make the playoff. You got Miss State who people don't think a lot of, and you go in there down big early, take a lead and find a way to blow it because you let their really one real offensive threat get deep a couple of times. Brendan Thompson got deep early and got deep late, and that cost Arizona State a win, and they go down in Starkville. Yeah, that's a good choice as well. Ranked team on the road, favored, and you drop it. This weekend,
there's a lot of opportunity for misery.
Yeah.
Which is a good way to watch college football.
But particularly when your team has a cakewalk, my team all of a sudden does not. There's a chance for misery there too.
Yeah,
you lose
I was
USF.
Just thinking of all the teams with losses that are playing a big game. I didn't even occur to me that there could be.
There's all of a sudden a top 20 matchup out of nowhere with USF and Miami.
UC or USF could become like a top 10 team off the back of Mario Cristobal
and Billy Napier back to back weeks. You got Georgia versus Tennessee top 15 matchup. So I think at that point, as I look at it, those are the two. Oh, A&M and Notre Dame. Notre Dame trying to bounce back.
Yeah.
A&M trying to revenge what happened last year. Or avenge what happened last year.
Yeah. Notre Dame and Florida, big, like, man, we're already disappointed. How bad can it get? Like, Notre Dame, like, there's a cushion of, like, they'll get into where they play a bunch of bad ACC teams and service academies, and they won't have the year that Florida's going to have. But if you start 0-2, it's just like, oof.
Against the two teams.
They're good.
The only two teams people thought were an actual threat, and you lose those two. As much as they're Notre Dame, and sure, the service academies and USC, that might be a game that might mean something. USC's gotten off to a good start. You go into 0-2, it's set in people's minds that you lost to two teams that are really only two teams we thought could beat you.
Yeah.
How good are you, really? We'll excuse the Northern Illinois loss because it's only the one loss last year. And then you went on to run the table until you lost the title game. So, yeah, Notre Dame, A&M, you got Miami, USF, and, of course, Georgia, Tennessee. Those are your three games on paper that look the most entertaining. There'll be surprises, as they always are. All right, we went quite a bit with that. We'll go to break here. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now, it's a little weird. We had so much football over the last few days. Now, no football. What do we do? Is Prize Picks, does the app still work? Yes, it still works. You can still play Prize Picks because they have baseball, they have WNBA, they have soccer, tennis, whatever you want. It's like esports, whatever you want. It's on Prize Picks. You can get on the action. Today is a Taco Tuesday, so they're offering discounts for players. I think it's mostly going to be baseball players throughout the day. Right now, you can get in on Cade Horton. Strikeouts more than 2.5. It's normally going to be 4, so you get a little bit of a discount there. And now you have the Astros taking their talents to, I forgot actually if this is in Toronto or in Houston, but they're playing the Blue Jays. And you have, of course, George Springer facing off against his old team. Hey, come on, we still like George Springer. Give him more on 1.5 total bases. How about that? Give him more on 1.5 total bases. Get a little Cade Horton action. Maybe a Yordan Alvarez hits, runs, RBIs more than 1.5. And have some fun watching the Astros for a lot of you the first time since football's comeback. All you got to do is you download the Prize Picks app today, use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 in free lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax Relief.
Houston, have you tried Portillo's yet? Portillo's brings authentic Chicago-style flavor with their slow-roasted Italian beef, Chicago-style hot dogs, char-broiled burgers, and crinkle-cut fries with cheese sauce. Save room for their famous chocolate cake and cake shake. Eat in, drive through, or order online. Now with 5 Houston locations. Find yours at Portillo's.com. That's Portillo's.com.
Suit up and save during Suit-tember at Suit Mart. September 11th through the 14th only. Buy one suit, get your second for just $35, and your third suit for only $25. Complete the look with an array of shoes, two for $30. Don't miss homecoming styles with Giorgio Dante suit separates and Marquis Slim Fit dress shirts, perfect for the season. Suit-tember, September 11th through the 14th at Suit Mart. Don't wait. These savings end Sunday. Suit Mart, where Houston suits up.
Okay, Texas, pop quiz. True or false? Walmart has more than half a billion items online. True. Find a huge selection online that you can't find in stores. True or false? Groceries always cost more when they're delivered. False. Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. Last one. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. True, y'all. Use Express Delivery to get eligible items to your doorstep before the pool party starts. Walmart. Who knew? Subject to availability. Fees and restrictions apply.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
I just bought another house for cash. Sell me yours at greenlightoffer.com.
For premier recreation, dining, and entertainment, head to East River 9, located 1 mile from downtown Houston. East River 9 is the only 9-hole par 3 golf course, driving range, and pickleball facility in town that features night golf under its LED stadium lights. The venue boasts a tremendous view of the Houston skyline, which is perfect for sunset gazing while enjoying your favorite cocktail or Riverhouse restaurant menu item. Go to eastriver9.com to book a tee time, pickleball court, or sign up for our annual membership. You'll be glad you did.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds, from regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet so the whole family can play. Built with commercial-grade materials that stand up to Houston weather, get your kids off those screens and onto the court. Pro Dunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
What we've been doing is pulling one of the people that sells a car every month and giving them a prize.
Give Me the VIN is giving away $25,000 in cash every month.
David Ling sold your car last
month. I sold a 2020 RX350.
Yep. Yeah. Open that check up and tell me what it says.
$25,000.
$25,000. Give me that.
David Ling of Claremont, California is the latest winner in GiveMeTheVIN.com's big cash giveaway.
$25,000. What am I getting for being here?
No purchase necessary. For official rules, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell us your car.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So the Astros are back in action. They're in Toronto. Luis Garcia against Berrios.
The Mariners won last night, so
the lead is now two, perpetually between two, maybe 1.5 to 4. That the lead fluctuates. Sometimes it just depends on who's off and who isn't. And now it's at two as they start a series, the Astros do, against, at least standings-wise, the best team in the – or at least, yeah, half a game. Just half a game better than the Tigers in the American League. The Blue Jays haven't been playing well lately. They've lost their last couple, 5-5 in their last 10. And the Astros can slide right in alongside them as teams who aren't playing well, with 4 out of their last 10 resulting in a win. So Luis Garcia back out there as he continues, or at least tries to work his way back to a point where he's someone they can depend on for a possible rotation spot in the playoffs. So Astros, Jays, it almost feels like they've been off longer than just the day because football took over. I know they played on Sunday. Did I see them play on Sunday? Barely. Because while Bill O'Brien was wrong by saying it's always going to be a football town, particularly when he was the head coach, it was easy to make it a baseball town. It's week one of the football season. You're just going to take a back seat. And then, of course, college football is on Saturday leading into Sunday of the NFL. So I got to recalibrate.
Yeah, and we had the listener party on Friday.
We had a lot of things going
during
on.
The Friday Rangers Astros game. So it's like I'm getting back in the swing. Who's on this team?
I know who's on this team. It's just been a while since I feel like my attention has been placed on this team. Mm. And with no Texans, not even a Texans practice or audio from Texans practice because everyone has a day off today. They're in the building, but there's no media access. So I can focus on the Astros and see if Luis Garcia can get us another good performance and against Berrios. This is a team who for the last 2 months has had really us all in limbo. They're not great. They're not terrible. They'll lose a couple here. They'll win a couple here. It's been this. We've been in this mode for about 2 months now.
Since All-Star break.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, I'm going to go over what they were at the All-Star break, because currently they're 12 games above 500. What exactly were they when the All-Star game hit? They were 56-40, so they were a little better. So they've been under 500 since the All-Star break. So not horrendously under 500, but they've been just playing mediocre to bad baseball for the better part of nearly 2 months now.
Yeah, there's the Dodger series over 4th of July weekend where it was like, oh my God. The Astros are inevitable. And then basically since then, because I think there's...
Yeah.
Was there like a Guardian series or something?
Since they swept the Dodgers and beat them 18-1, 6-4, and 5-1, they lost 5 out of 6 to close out the first half. And then...
All-Star break coming at the perfect time.
That's what you would say. And then they came out of the All-Star break and lost the first two to Seattle. And then avoided a sweep. So since that Dodgers series... let's just say they've been a bad baseball team. I mean, it's fair to say.
They've been, what, like
six, seven games below 500.
Yeah.
Maybe upwards to 8. They've been bad. They've been a bad baseball team since the Dodgers series. They just had enough of a cushion.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about their lead in the division. I'm talking about the cushion of having the Rangers and the Mariners in the division. They've just had enough of a cushion to survive
Yeah, no, their lead has gone down from whatever. It was probably like, it was like 7 or 8 around then.
Probably. I'll find it.
Yeah, and it's gone down to
2 today.
Now. And it took until now. It was 4 last week. Like it's very, it's the entire division has really thrown it like Iowa's offense or like Iowa State on Saturday really threw it in park for a while. Remembering, oh wait, that's the AL West. Wait, Fangraphs had is projected to all be 85 win teams. Oh, let's actually slow it down. We got to get to 85.
They were 6 games up going into the All-Star break.
And they've played under 500 baseball.
Like,
and are
well
now
below
two game.
Under 500 baseball.
And are now 2
and
games.
And still have a 2-game lead. Yeah. This is the...
Baseball, folks.
AFC South.
It is the AFC South.
You can be mediocre and in some ways bad for 2 months and still maintain your lead and have every belief that you're going to win this division.
Joe Spada, congratulations on winning the division, but are you a little...
That you played under 500 baseball since the
for
break?
The last 3 months?
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions AOL. 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
It doesn't matter what it looked like.
See, even Brian was sick of the
looking
matinee
forward
game.
To the
you heard him, but you guys
go
are
ahead.
Back
sorry,
in
sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
But you're back in the... Yeah.
You're back in the... Even he... At the moment was
in like
hey, but
2018
yeah,
or whatever yeah, this was.
And it's never hasn't changed.
Actually, that might have been like 2016.
And after doing the research to find out, they were on the they had the CBS game last year. The Texans did. That was their wild card. It was a matinee game, but the CBS game.
Yeah.
But it was Ian Eagles crew. So it was still the second crew.
Huh. I watched it on Nickelodeon. So it was for me it was Noah Eagle. No, it was Nate Burleson and SpongeBob and Patrick.
Got it. So,
guest appearance from Sandy Cheeks, and
that's wonderful,
among others.
I just want the first crew. I don't even care. I was asking.
SpongeBob is the first crew.
Yes. Understood. That's why you watch Nickelodeon. They showed the Texans priority.
Yeah.
I was saying before, I want the first crew on ESPN. I don't even care what network is on. Now, some of these networks only have the one crew. Like, Prime doesn't have multiple crews. So, if we got on Prime, then cool. We get the first crew, like, of Al and Kirk Herbstreit. I just want the first crew. I am tired of, the second crew's coming to town for the game, which would be what we won't be on Fox, but either be CBS or NBC, because they may have 2 games that weekend. Just give me the first crew, whoever it is. Whoever is deemed the first crew for those networks, let's go. That's all.
Jack Collinsworth and Jason.
Nope. Jack Collinsworth can stand on the sidelines.
Jason Garrett.
Jack Collinsworth was standing inside the tunnel during the lightning delay for Eagles Cowboys. If I don't want one of the people who has to stand inside the tunnel to fill time while the game is delayed. No Jack Collinsworth, no Rodney Harrison, none of it. Rodney Harrison can be on site, fine. But if he's ever put in a position to call play-by-play or be the analyst for a game the Texans are in, I know they've got a secondhand crew. I know that.
I think the first time the Texans made the playoffs in 2011, they were on NBC. And the person they had calling the game I had never heard of before.
See?
Just
this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Can we get out of that? And while the Texans, as we talked about, have plenty of talent. They aren't so talented that they can be just tossing out penalties and go, you know what? We can overcome 11. You can overcome 11, not against a pretty good team like the Rams. So that's what started the conversation in the first hour. Stop the penalties because you're not good enough to overcome them. And that's D'Amico Ryan's problem. It started when he got here. Lovie Smith, for as untalented as that team was and how little they had to play for, they didn't get called for a lot of penalties. You got better players. You got bigger aspirations. You get called for more penalties. Cut it out. Because if I got to suffer through, hey, Jack Collinsworth's in the booth instead of Chris, because Chris is someplace else for this weekend because there's a bigger game. I don't know who it would be. Maybe the Ravens don't have the one seed. The Ravens versus the Steelers again. Maybe Chris and Mike are there for that game. Give me the first crew, Texans. Do what you got to do. Either be a 12 or 13 win team, or somehow the Chiefs aren't winning the division, as you point out during the break. Maybe the Chiefs don't win the AFC West.
Yeah.
The Chargers do. And because the Chiefs and they're coming to Houston, the first CBS crew comes to town.
Yeah, maybe it's outside of their control. Outside,
you know,
of
what? It's probably because they're the Texans. It probably is outside of their control, just because how they treat Houston teams.
And I am thinking, if you're the TV network, are they like, hey, maybe we can just make this its own little tradition of, hey, look at the Texans at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Like all the networks come together for collusion, and they just say, yeah, hey, Texans matinee Saturday game. That's
whoever has the matinee Saturday game, it's like, you're sending your crew to Houston. We can. It's like the Detroit Thanksgiving game, where for a lot of years there, only very recently is it like, okay, this was a fun game. For the 25 years before that, it was like, gosh, isn't it crazy that we start the big day for the NFL Thanksgiving with some trash-ass Lions team every year? But then it became like, yeah, we do. We started with the Lions every year. And now they're good, no one complains.
We'll see. Week one weren't so good.
2 years ago, or yeah. The last two or
last
three years.
Last couple years, yeah, yes, they were good. Yes, am I out ahead of what I should be talking about? Talking about the Texans wild card weekend? Yes, I am. I am out ahead of what I should be talking about. But much like the Astros, feels like it's a foregone conclusion. Unless the Daniel Jones thing is real, and considering the tape on how the Dolphins played, it's probably not real that Daniel Jones is going to be as efficient as he was in week one. You're winning this division. Let's aspire to be better than that. And the first step is getting the first crew from whatever network is covering your game. I think that's something they can accomplish. We will see. All right, we got a couple more segments, maybe even just one now that I look at the clock. One more segment to go before we wrap it up. Jeff, you want to talk about D'Amico Ryans? You're more than welcome to. Anyone else? The number is 713-780-3776. We'll talk about D'Amico Ryans and his team when we come back. We have a couple more things to touch on. In fact, we'll play some sound why you should feel pretty confident that the Texans are going to win this division, but less so if you took Brian Thomas in fantasy. We'll play that sound from the Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax Relief.
Trulux, Ocean's finest seafood and crab. A Houston original, proudly serving our great city for over 30 years. We have recently updated our restaurant with a modern sensibility and sophisticated finishes. We can't wait for you to come and see it. The look is totally new, but the sensation, hospitality, and quality remain unmistakably Trulux. Visit us today and experience the newest flavor of a true Houston original. Trulux, your table is waiting.
Let's hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon, lime, grapefruit, satsuma, blackberry, and now wild cherry. Get Ramblin', Houston.
Chill out with Inside the Icebox, your go-to Astros podcast for deep dives, hot takes, and bold predictions. Join Joe George and Jeremy Branham Fridays at 7 on ESPN 97.5 or on our YouTube channel, ESPN Houston, powered by Blue Star Tequila. Smooth and always game ready.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Jeff here. He wants to talk about DeMeco Ryans. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, buddy. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I just I went to this, I think, Monday, one of the last week with you guys. I don't want to get this ball rolling, but I'm kind of co-signing with what you're saying. You know, he's picking some great players to put on the field, but, you know, between the penalties, the mover and the offensive line around, not throwing the ball down the field, the coverage, I don't know. I don't want to say I don't see him as being the coach everyone sees him as. I know everybody says he's a great guy and he's one of the fellows, but you need a coach. I mean, it starts from the top. I understand you have offensive coordinators, you've got quarterback coaches and all that, but it comes down to it's his decision. You know, and I don't know. I just think, you know, he needs to regroup. This is my opinion. I mean, you know, I'm not a part of the organization, but starts at the top. You know, there's no reason these guys are still causing all these penalties. It's about discipline. I played high school football, and them coaches are right over there, and, you know, they're on your ass if you weren't doing what you're supposed to do. You're running extra laps. You're making the team stay later. You hold the person responsible. I just don't see him doing that on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. He will talk about it. He will say the penalties are unacceptable. And look, it's the common refrain for every coach who has an issue with penalties. They're unacceptable. We work on them. And if they continue, what's the answer? I don't know if it's discipline or it's the players themselves, or is there a way to cut that out? Because some teams rarely commit penalties. Some teams commit penalties quite a bit. The Ravens are a team, I believe, who gets penalized quite a bit. And in their case, why are they always blowing leads? Well, they don't always blow leads. Why do they have the most spectacular blown leads on their resume, particularly when you compare them to other teams? They do things other teams don't. Why? They're a good football team. You would point to the one thing holding them back is their inability to close out games when they obviously should. And yet they still go win the division. They still win a lot of games, but they have a problem with that. Why can't they fix it? The Texans' problems, I mean, compared to the Ravens, compared to the Texans, the Ravens have champagne problems. Oh, you're up too much in games, you blow them. That's their problem. Our problem is there are penalties that keep them from achieving, or at least getting, or showing to themselves to be at their very best. The Texans are a team, even without the penalties, that are probably an 11-win team. That's where they top out at. But they make it very hard on themselves because they're always doing things to set themselves up for failure. They will acknowledge it. They will say they need to fix it, and they don't. So, once again, this isn't a question of whether DeMeco Ryans should still be the coach of the Texans. This isn't what this is about. But there is a problem over near 40 games where his teams are always highly penalized. Why is that? And it will only fall on him, because who else can you put that on? Even if the players change, because there's no Tunsil to blame it on this time. And yet, you had a holding penalty on the first drive of the season. You could maybe consider it questionable because Jared Verse was going down anyway, and then Cam Robinson helped him stay down. And then you had the delay of game. That's on the first drive of the year you have two penalties on your offense. And you can look across that offense, the starting offense for 2025 in week one, the starting offense in 2024 in week one, and notice all the changes. Who's was starting in 2024 that's starting in 2025? Nico, Titus Howard, Dalton Schultz, and CJ, right? We get to like four guys. The rest of the team, or at least the rest of that unit, different because of injuries and the shakeups on the offensive line. And yet, they couldn't get out of their own way to start the season. That's a problem your head coach needs to fix if they want to do the things they think they can accomplish. Until they do, they're probably going to be a team who are always talking about, hey, if we can only just cut out the penalties. We'll see if that gets fixed. And it'll have a major spotlight on it. Monday Night Football's coming to town. You're gonna get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman calling your game. And I'm sure CJ Stroud will be praised quite a bit throughout because that's the national perception, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and you're gonna play another team. Right in the same level of the Rams as a team that in the NFC is expected to win their division, or at least compete for the division, or the Bucks are expected to win the division. The Rams are expected to win or compete for the division. And be that next class of teams after the Eagles that are trying to knock the Eagles down. You know, you're facing another contender in the NFC. It is going to be a pretty similar, not matchup, but a similar test for you. It's even a good quarterback with two good receivers, it looks like. I think we can call Emeka Buka, at the very least, a good receiver right now. And then, of course, you have Mike Evans on the other side. So, yeah, it's going to be – it's funny how, like, similar of a test it is. It's like, oh, okay. So it's the NFC South version of the Rams. Cool. Yeah.
A team who, if things went right, you could see them in the NFC title game, and who knows, maybe a Super Bowl. They have that capability, particularly with the way they play offense, and if Chris Godwin's going to come back, that was some of the news yesterday, that they can probably expect him back maybe in October, maybe late into October. Then you have a third guy who can be a force. The Texans don't have to deal with him. The question for me is, regarding their weapons, will Derek Stingley be at full strength? And that'll be something that kind of shakes out over the course of the week. I just imagine he'll be limited in practice on Wednesday. I don't like that he's got a hip issue when he's got a Buka and Mike Evans coming to town. Kamari Lassiter, fine. A good player. But once you get past that.
Yeah, I need two of them, though.
I need
two good players.
And Damon Arnett's a real option. We got problems.
I actually don't know you if Damon that. Arnett yeah, is the third.
I don't know that he is the option, but
I think
it'll
the
be
fact
a,
that we don't know
someone of Damon Arnett's caliber will be an option. We're not looking for that. Not at all.
No thanks.
So yeah, let's hope for Stingley's help. It could be the difference in whether you have a real shot to stop that Bucks offense. Now, of course, you got that pass rush. It'll always be a problem, but for teams to deal with, but you'd love to be at full strength in week two because, as Sean has pointed out, must win for the Texans.
Yeah, especially, you know, Jags, Colts, 1-0.
Speaking of the Jags, let's play this before we go. Liam Cohen, I said we'd play this. Liam Cohen pointed out all the times that Brian Thomas had a chance to make a play and Trevor Lawrence missed him. He didn't specifically say Trevor Lawrence, but who else is throwing the football? This is why I'm not that concerned about who's chasing the Texans in the AFC South.
I think we try to get them a touch on the first or second drive of the game. First play of the game, right? We don't convert it. Throw them a screen low, doesn't come down with it. And then the flow of the game, we missed him on a in-breaker, which he had a lot of room to run. Missed him on a corner route where he was fairly open. And then missed, you know, had the one on the out of bounds. So you're talking about that's five catches right there that gets him into the flow of it.
Yeah, it's not Damon Arnett. It'd probably be Jalen Smith or Tremont Smith.
Yes.
Either way. But that's five passes that he could call out by memory that Trevor Lawrence missed.
Well, maybe he's like Sean McVay and you can remember every play, you know?
Possible. Just... Well, he is from the Sean McVay system.
Yeah, got him coffee.
So this is why I'm not concerned. I am concerned for Thomas fantasy owners, though. Because I don't know that Trevor Lawrence has changed very much. Yeah. I saw those passes he missed. Woof. Oh, Thomas was open. All right, we're done.
Not quite as open as DJ Moore on the sideline shot that Caleb missed.
No.
Missed by a lot.
That's a Caleb we saw last year.
Yeah. Hey, I've seen that guy.
I remember you. All right, we're done. Paul Gallant's up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. And Jason Tatum, in a tweet, said he learned some of his early moves from Evan Turner. He goes, what is that? They showed a clip of Evan Turner from like the 15-16 season. He goes, what does that remind you of? Jason, don't do that. Don't compare yourself to Evan Turner, even if it's young you. All right. We're done for the day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.